Good afternoon and welcome to this meeting of the Joint Standards Committee of Northern District Council. First item is Chairman's Notices, which is a police overleaf. I'll read them because we are on the tape, even though there aren't any actually members of the public here. So that please note the meeting is being sound recorded and any members of the public attending with a view to speaking are deemed to have given permission to be included. In the event of a fire, there will be a siren. Please use the fire exits marked with the green sign or follow me. Health and safety, please be advised of the different levels of flooring within the council chamber, and also we are being recorded on closed circuit television. I would also ask members if you could please use your microphones when we speak. Again, that's for the sake of the tape. So, next item is apologies for absence. Please,
yes, Madam Chairman, apologies from Councillor Ledger, one of your parish council representatives. In accordance with notice given, apologies from Councillor Boyce and Councillor Bass is his substitute.
Thank you very much. Next is the minutes of the last meeting, which I hope you've all seen.
It is some time ago,
but can I take these as read, or would anyone like to go by page by page?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I've got two questions to ask. As a newcomer to this committee, although I have been to previous meetings, the last meeting that I came to, the Chair was Councillor Shrimpton, and I notice he's not the Chair now. Can you explain to me how chairs were appointed and when this happened?
I shall let Mr. Jennings answer that.
Chairman of committees are appointed annually by the council, their statutory annual meeting, and as of May this year, the chairmanship of this committee changed.
I'm grateful to the clerk, Chairman, but can you then confirm that the chair can only be a district councillor according to your constitution?
Again, I'm going to turn to Mr. Jennings. I'm not sure.
Of this committee, Chairman, I would say yes, because it is the council that appoints committees of its own membership, and obviously additional representative members are appointed by the council onto the committee, but they are not members of this council.
Without wishing to labour the point, Chair, I'd like to see a copy of that constitution, because this is supposed to be an independent committee, and as such I would think that the committee should appoint the chair, not the district council.
Can I leave that with you, Mr. Jennings, to...
Happy to look into that, Madam Chairman, and report back to the council. It's an interesting issue which I'm happy to give some thought to.
Okay, thank you, and perhaps you could circulate all members of the committee.
Thank you very much, Chair. And my second point is that on minute 943, which refers to an earlier minute 721, a question was raised about why an issue didn't proceed against a particular councillor. I appreciate that this is a confidential issue, and it looks like members who were present at the last meeting were informed of the rationale. As a member of this committee, albeit that I sent my apologies, I've had no explanation.
I'm sure you appreciate I wasn't a member of the committee then either. I should have actually said this. Looking at the minutes is for accuracy, but on this occasion, I think... Sorry? I was there as a substitute, but that was my one and only time. Can you help me at all with that, Mr. Jennings?
Madam Chairman, I'm struggling to actually recall the actual details of this case, but I do recall that members asked for an explanation and it was given in private session at the end. I wouldn't be in a position to give the details of that particular case now because I can't recall which one that was, but I'm happy through the monitoring officer to provide written confirmation to council and none of that outcome.
Very grateful, thank you.
Any other items on the minutes,
agreed.
Members, for accuracy? Agreed. Okay, we'll take those as agreed. Item 4, disclosure of interest, to disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda, having regard to paragraph 6 to 8, inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. Anything, any member? No, is that no from everyone? Thank you. So item 5 then is the appointment of independent persons, which is plural in our case. We have the report of the monitoring officer on pages 9 onwards, and I believe Mr. Jennings is going to talk us through this.
Madam Chair, I think the report is fairly factual and straightforward, and it really is a report back to this committee on the way to council, and it's on the agenda for council for the 15th, as you will see from the report, and it responds to the action previously agreed by the committee following extensions of the terms of office of the independent persons over recent times, to in actual fact put into effect a purposeful recruitment exercise and advertisement of the role during this year prior to the expiry of the terms of office of the independent person and the two deputies. And the report sets out that this was duly advertised in the same way as the office was originally advertised. And I can actually say that I had one inquiry, but actually no applications came forward. The existing independent person, Mr. Hodson, who is present here today, confirmed his interest in continuing to serve the committee, as did one of the deputies, Mr. Anthony. As I say, the report, as it indicates, their period of office does expire on the 8th of February 2017. So it's open to this committee to give a view on how council should proceed. The actual appointment of the independent persons is a council matter.
Thank you, members. Any views? Councillor Shrimpton.
Are we to make a recommendation to council then?
We are. It's that the council reappoints the current independent.
I resolve that a recommendation be sent to full council that those two members be the independent members.
We accept the officer's recommendation, in short. Is that seconded? Anybody have any other views? Thank you. Then I believe that's new. I'm not sure if Councillor Nunn actually... Did you vote, sorry, sir? Did you vote to accept the recommendation?
Chair, you didn't ask for a vote.
I didn't yet, but a lot of hands went up. Were they all seconded? Okay, I will do this thoroughly. May I have a vote, please, to accept the officer's recommendation? Right, I'm going to vote too. That is unanimous. Thank you. So item 6 is, actually I'd like to consider any relevant training or briefing requirements that members need, because the thing is, standards meets rarely and seldom with business other than routine. So I wanted to find out how members of the committee feel about training and what they would like. Mrs. Acevedo.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, clearly... Councillor Nunn has brought up a point today that he wasn't clear about, or perhaps he was, but was making a different point. But I believe that training is needed. I think that the decisions that we make, no matter what committee we're on, are important, and they need to be informed decisions. So yes, I'm all for training.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Did you have anything particular in mind?
Yes, probably procedural, and often when it comes down to the legal implications, I think it's very important. So yes, those two in particular, and the format that a particular committee might take, they're different in all committees, and clearly, you know, as district councillors, we tend to be on more than more sort of formal meetings, we'd be at more formal meetings than a parish councillor. So I think it's really important, not just for parish, but for all of us actually, but in particular for parish.
Thank you. Any other views? Councillor Nunn.
I concur completely with councillor about training. I wouldn't say that parish and town councillors attend less formal meetings, but I certainly agree with the point about training.
Thank you. Anyone else have any thoughts? Does anyone object? Does anyone feel it's not necessary? I must ask. Okay, so I'm going to look to Mr. Jennings and see what he can.
Yeah, I think it's useful for the standards committee to perhaps have some sort of presentation briefing about its role. And Councillor Nunn has raised an interesting point today, because this is a joint standards committee. It is a committee of the council. I'm quite satisfied about that, but it is a joint standards committee because the committee is looking after the interests and ethical code and covers complaints arising from town and parish councils and makes recommendations back there as well. So it has a wider net to consider rather than district council related things. And I suppose integral to that, apart from understanding what the true role of the committee is and its status, the complaints process, which is annexed to the terms of reference of the Joint Standards Committee, is something which I detect members would like to know a little bit more about how it actually operates in practice, because there is a stage one and there's a stage two, and it's invariably stage two where this committee comes into action. And I think it's important that when this committee is called upon to come into action, it knows precisely why and what the circumstances are. So we could take the committee through the complaints process and explain that. The thing is, it's with this committee, it's to meet, as has been identified, unyielding to need. But when that need arises, the committee need to be briefed sufficiently to act.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jennings. If no one else has anything to offer, Councillor Bass.
Well, I wondered whether you were getting to any other business, Madam Chairman, but it's not really any other business.
I just wondered if you would permit me to take up the point that Mr. Nunn raised. I disagree with his issues about the chairman of this committee, because I think that's by tradition, if nothing else. But what does concern me to a degree, that his point about being a member of the committee and yet that item on the minutes which he referred to is absolutely meaningless because nobody knows the content of it. And members who are not present at that meeting should, I think, receive that comment, albeit it would have to be on green and strictly under a confidential matter. But I think it is, if members are missing and a verbal report is given, any members that are missing should have that information, because otherwise they don't know, particularly when some of these cases are continuing. It's important that the background information and any information given in the previous meeting is available, albeit on green.
I think that's a very valid point, Councillor, though I would note that there is no any other business.
No, as
this is an important point, and therefore I certainly wouldn't dismiss it.
I think to raise the dates at the next.
Yes, I will do that at the moment. Councillor Shrimpton.
Further to Councillor Bassey's point, I was at the meeting.
So was I.
And I can't remember, because of course we only got the minutes fairly recently.
Yes.
And the minutes don't tell you anything. So could it be that if there's people not there, get this information? Could the people that were there get it as well?
I believe that's important. And Mr. Jennings, can that be
entirely fair point, and that's why I was readily agreed to in relation to Councillor Nunn's point to say you should be informed, yes.
Okay. Councillor Palmer.
Yes, Chairman. Relating to the training, I think that's a very good idea, but I think when it comes to the legal implications of it, we should really just kind of do a shallow, not too in-depth on that, because we do rely on the officer for that information.
Absolutely, yes, I appreciate that. We aren't to be turned into amateur solicitors. That I take the point completely. Unless any member has anything else, we do in fact have Mr. Dobson with us, so Hodson, I'm so sorry. Thinking of the councillor, Mr. Hodson. So, if It's slightly off piece, but if anyone would like to ask Mr. Hobson to tell us more about the role, tell us more about anything, or should he be willing to do that?
Well, perhaps I'll just make a couple of points then.
Yes, please.
I've been doing this job for, I think, a good 4 years, and I was the independent member for about 8 months before that. But in the last 4 years, I think I've looked at probably something like 30-odd complaints, which I think, generally speaking, you as a councillor haven't seen. Because only, I think, one or perhaps two have been referred to council. That doesn't bother me, that's the process. I mean, that's but perhaps it would be more useful for the council to see some of those from time to time, just to see what complaints are being made against councillors.
Yes.
And you, I don't think you see those.
No.
But perhaps a more personal point, there are two complaints which I think are currently live, which have been raised against councillors by officers. And though they're in process of being looked at the moment, and may well come to the council, what I'm finding quite odd here is, and I've seen this before, is that the councillor or the officer is not agreeing to meet for an informal meeting. And I think that's quite strange that you guys have got to work with the officers, and vice versa, and the informal meeting, which is part of the process, is not happening. And this, there are two current complaints in the process at the moment where that is the situation, and that may well get resolved by the monitoring officer, and I hope it does. The greater amount of time that has passed before this perhaps goes through a report and such like, at the moment it's been lost to some degree, I believe. If there is a complaint and it needs to be discussed, the sooner that happens, I think the better council will have, you know. So that might be an element where some training or understanding of the complaints process could take place if it's perhaps forgotten about or whatever.
Well, Mr. Jones.
Well, I think that would be a relevant matter to come back as part of the training, because the committee might wish, as part and parcel of becoming more familiar with the workings of the councillor complaint process, that they may feel that something along the lines of what Mr. Hodgson's been referring to there ought to be perhaps integrated into that process a little bit more obviously than it is at the moment.
I'd like to see that, because although I realise, and this is what I wanted partly to incorporate into the training, that there's quite a lot of the standards procedure happens before we even know about it. Mm. And although I was aware that's the case with, you know, some of the items you mentioned, I had no idea it was that many that never reach us. I really didn't know. And I'd be very interested to know what does and what doesn't,
that would
and why
parish as well.
That would include parish as well.
Can I ask, I remember, have you actually closed the meeting?
I have not yet, Councillor Wells.
I was just going to say, could I ask Mr. Hobson if he could give us a rough idea of how that bounces out between town and parish and district?
I would be guessing, but probably 50-50. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. 50-50. I mean, a lot of the ones at parish are about planning matters, and I know that some persons are upset with the parish council, but it still results.
Absolutely, that's very interesting, and thank you very much for speaking to us. Item 7 is any other items of business the chairman of committee decides are urgent. There are none, so I'm about to close the meeting, but could members please give me a few minutes so we can arrange the date of the next meeting while we're all in the room together. So on that note, I close the meeting at 2:20. Thank you very much.